It is hard for us to recognize, to really see and recognize that we just do not know. I'm not talking about not knowing some kind of information, like not knowing what's going on in the news these days, or not knowing a piece of information that we should. When I say that it is hard and difficult for us to recognize that we just do not know, I'm referring to not knowing what we should do or where we should go. I'm speaking more to our own life and our own journeys. Rather than saying, I don't know, we want to say, I know. We want to feel like we've got all the answers. And in the eyes of others, we want to seem like we are well put together and sure of what we're doing and where we're going. And if we do say that we don't know, it is usually to avoid talking about our life altogether. If somebody asks us a question about our future, about where we're going, we just say, I don't know, just to brush past the topic so we don't need to delve deeper into it. Not because we want to really acknowledge that we don't know. No amount of books we read, the advice that we receive from others, or the extensive planning that we do for our life in advance can drive out this feeling of unease, of not knowing. I think it never goes away, no matter what life stage we're in. No matter what we do, that feeling of unease is still there, sitting somewhere in our hearts. I know that many of our students struggle with that. They hate being asked, what are you thinking about? Where are you thinking about going for university? What do you think about applying for? They don't like me to ask that question because sometimes they don't have the answers. The same goes for our recent university and college students that are now facing a new chapter in their life. We also have those who are navigating the joys and the challenges of being first-time parents, or also those who are left with an empty nest. And then there are also some in our midst who are preparing for or already in their retirement. Lots of people are going through some form of transition in their lives. And the last thing that we want to acknowledge is that we are lost, that we feel lost. If not to others, then at least to ourselves. We don't want to acknowledge it. It's something that we want to run away from and hide. And we're clever in the ways that we hide this from ourselves in so many ways. We pretend like it doesn't exist. We go to any and all sorts of distractions. Or we just go along with the predictability of our daily routine. But in today's passage, the long passage that Elder Veronica read, we see that Solomon was in a similar situation. Solomon was the son of David. And who is David? David was the greatest king of Israel. So after David died, Solomon was set to follow in his footsteps and take the throne. If your father was the greatest king in Israel, imagine the pressure and the anxiety that Solomon faced as he was preparing for this transition. He had enormous shoes to fill. And in his prayer, this was what he said about himself. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. In his prayer, Solomon described himself as a little child. Solomon wasn't being literal, though. He was young at the time. Some people think that he was around 20 years of age at this time. Some people think that he was actually a little older. But either way, he was not a child. Yet, he compared himself to a little child who doesn't know what he should do or where he should go. In this time of loneliness, confusion, and vulnerability, Solomon did not hide from it. He did not hide behind his power. He did not hide behind his status that would make him seem invincible and immune to things from his people. What I actually really like about Solomon's prayer, which we read in today's passage, is that he's very honest. He's simple, he's sincere, and transparent before God. In his prayer, he simply acknowledged that he was lost, anxious, and afraid. God, I don't know where to start. I don't know who to trust. I just don't know what to do. What Solomon saw was that he didn't need anything else except wisdom. So this was the one thing that he asked from God. When God asked it, what is one thing that I shall give you? And this was what he said. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this great people of yours? He asked for an understanding mind. When he says mind here, he's not talking about the head. He is talking about the heart. He is pointing to the very center of a human being where everything comes together. And when he talks about understanding, he is talking not just to comprehending something just rationally, but he is talking about listening. So in that sense, when Solomon was asking God for an understanding mind, he wasn't asking for some stronger rational or intellectual abilities. He was asking God for the ability to listen and seek God's will in every situation. Solomon didn't just seek what was common sense, what was smart, but he sought what was spiritual. When we look at Solomon, we get a glimpse of what it means to be wise. Being wise doesn't mean knowing more. We often think a wise person is almost a repository of all these lessons and things that he just kind of gives out whenever the opportunity arises. Being wise doesn't mean knowing more. Actually, in this day and age, I believe that all of us, we know way more than we have ever before. If you have a question, everything is available at our fingertips. With our phone, we can look up all the answers that we have to the questions. But being wise has to do with understanding that we do not know all there is to know. And here's the second part, and that is okay. Being wise begins with acknowledging that we just do not know all there is to know, and that is okay. There's an American writer named Wendell Berry, and this was what he wrote. It may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. And when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey. I find these words very comforting in a way. Because it tells us that we don't need to feel ashamed or guilty that we don't know everything. But why should we feel ashamed? We are only human. We're not meant to know everything. We're not meant to have all the answers. We are only human, and we are only a little child. No matter how old we are still a little child in many ways, in need of guidance and care for our journey that we're on. It's almost saying what we just heard is telling us not knowing is actually might be a blessing in disguise. The fact that we don't know might be an opportunity for us to discover, encounter, or experience something new that wasn't in our horizon before. Yet the more we try to pretend otherwise, I believe the more we'll be unable to see what we need to see and hear what we need to hear. The more we try to pretend that we know, we will remain trapped in our small world, and we will not be able to see beyond the world of common sense and logic. Our mind will be so full of our own voices that nothing else, not even God, will be able to speak into it. The key that unlocks the world of spiritual wisdom is humility. But we often think of being humble as just something cutting ourselves down. But being humble does not mean putting ourselves down. Being humble means to see ourselves as we are, not exaggerating it or not putting ourselves down, and also seeing God as who God is. I believe that's humility. Interestingly enough, when we learn to look at God as who God is, we are able to see ourselves as who we are. And our humility comes from recognizing that it is not us, but God who leads and guides our every step. That is true humility. To know that it is not us, our brilliance and our smart, but God who leads and guides our every step. When you look at Solomon, you will see that it wasn't Solomon's innate ability or his life experience that made him wise. It was his humility. And it pleased God to bless him. And this was how God responded. "I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." Indeed, there was no one like Solomon before or after. I mentioned that his father, David, was the greatest king of Israel. Solomon wasn't the greatest king, but he was known as the wisest king of Israel. In his own way, he became the wisest king of Israel. Not because he was anything special and brilliant, but because in his life and in his leadership, he entrusted everything in God's hands, and God gave him the wisdom he needed in every situation. It's not something he planned for, but every situation, he entrusted the situation to God. And somehow with the wisdom that God gave him, he led the entire nation. And when people saw Solomon, he saw that he was young, but he saw something unique and authentic about who he was and his leadership. It wasn't like he was pretending, but people saw something, that there was something there. And when you read the end of today's chapter, it ends with this remark. "All Israel heard of the judgment the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived, they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to execute justice." They saw that in the decisions that he made, it wasn't just because, oh, he learned a lot, he studied a lot, and he was so intelligent. But there was something else behind it. And they saw this special wisdom that was guiding him in every step. Many of us have been enjoying a time of rest, play, and rejuvenation this summer. I mean, that's what summer is. You step back from the busyness of our life, and you begin to enjoy rest and do things that you weren't able to do before. But summer is also a time of transition and preparation. I'm starting to notice that the sun's getting shorter in the evenings. Things are starting to shift. New school year for a lot of our students is on the horizon. They probably don't even want to think about that at this time. Even our ministers, we are going on vacations, but that is the time where we are also preparing for the new season in our ministries. So before we know it, everything will be back in full swing. once we hit September. And I pray that we take this time to be wise in our living. That we take this time this summer to reflect on where we are at the moment. And to acknowledge our uncertainties, doubts, and worries. But not stop there. Ultimately, to seek and listen to God who cares for us and knows the way that we should go. To reflect and to acknowledge, but ultimately to seek and listen to God who knows our way. As Gloria sang beautifully, we heard it as a part of our special music today. I really like this part. The matchless wisdom of his ways that mark the path of righteousness, his word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. What more do we need to be anxious about and so afraid of? Even when we look back at our own journeys, I'm sure we can say that how we got to be where we are and who we are today itself is a mystery. We don't say mystery because we just don't know anything. We say mystery because it's purely by God's grace. How we got to where we are and who we are today is not an outcome, it's not a result of our every brilliant decision that we made in life. We made some foolish decisions along the way, and yet how we got here is purely by God's grace. And even as we sit here, I'm sure in many ways we still feel like a little child, feeling lost at times, completely drawing blanks, not knowing where to go or what to do. We're discerning and figuring it out as we go with God's help. I mean, if we're being completely honest, aren't we all figuring it out as we go? And every step along the way, God is opening doors and creating new paths that we did not expect. Be wise, my friends. When we are wise, that is when we experience peace and freedom. When we are foolish, that's when we experience fear and anxiety. We experience peace and freedom because we are no longer driven by our need to be always in control of our life. And when you're peaceful and free, that is when we start taking real ownership of our life. Our decisions are not made out of fear or the need to please the expectations of those around us. Our decisions and our choices are made based on truth and conviction as God is leading us on our journey. We can finally start envisioning our future and living into it while at the same time leaving it completely in God's hands. That is the journey of faith. Journey of faith is not knowing everything beforehand, and then I'll start walking forward. Journey of faith is not seeing how many options I have in front of me and saying, okay, I can move forward. Journey of faith is about walking each and every day, every step in trust. When you look at Abram's journey, when you even look at the disciples' journey, nothing was mapped out for them in terms of this is where you will be and how you'll be and where you will go. They went. They didn't know everything. And yet in faith, they went. And journey of faith is about embracing the unknown yet hopeful future that lies ahead. And ultimately, journey of faith is about being able to say with confidence, I don't know, but that is okay. I do not know, but that is okay. Because God will lead me to where I need to be.